You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
A few weeks ago, there was a story around a back and forth that was taking place between Pick n Pay and one of its franchisees. I spoke to the franchisee around those legal battles. We've since come to know that the court has ruled in the favor of Pick n Pay and the franchisee has lost one or two franchises. What has also recently come to light is the fact that ShopRite has been sitting quietly in the wings waiting for things to unfold, and things have gotten very interesting from their perspective. I'm joined on the line by founder at Just One Lap, Simon Brown, to take a look at this and just get an understanding of what this means for retailers in South Africa. Good evening, Simon. Thanks as always for the time. ShopRite clearly not waiting for things to get any better. They found an opportunity and they're seizing it.
Hey, Jimmy, evening. And that's just what you do. If you are the king of the jungle, or in this case, the king of grocery retail in South Africa, you don't rest on your laurels. You use that muscle you've got. You use that power and you exert it in every which way. I mean, in truth, this is seven stores and it's in the thousands that ShopRite has. Seven is not a significant number, but it's that killer instinct which says, you know, we don't just sit back and rest. We've got, 58 months of continual market share gain. And truthfully, we don't want 60. We want double 58 months. And it's that ruthlessness to it. And we see it seldom or far too often. A company gets into a really dominant position and then kind of leans back and kind of takes it easy, sometimes almost too scared to do anything in case they kind of break a winning formula. That is not ShopRite. And it's not just under the current CEO. Of course, it was under Wati Bison as well.
Absolutely. And this is clearly very, very evident. I mean, the last time I spoke to Peter Engelbrecht around this, I actually posed the question as to whether or not he'd be interested in buying Pick n Pay if the Competition Commission would allow it. And that turned out to be a very funny conversation there as well. But to your point, Simon, ShopRite clearly seeing the market as everything is fair game, regardless of what's happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you remember, it was, a year and a half ago or so, they picked up some businesses from Massmart. Again, not significant, but adding to the bottom line. And what they're doing, and if you step back and think about retail generally, and we've spoken about this before, Jimmy, how Raymond Ackerman was the champion of the consumer back in the 80s and the 90s, fighting regulation around bread pricing and petrol and the like. And now it's ShopRite, where a Pick n Pay is struggling in a space. You get a sense that ShopRite will go in there with either their Checkers or their ShopRite brand, as the case may be, and they're just not going to struggle. They've got the consumer, the confidence, the consumer trusts in them, consumer believes them, and they're going to use that, and they're going to pick up where they can, and in essence, take a very struggling Pick n Pay. I say seven stores aren't material for ShopRite. Seven stores is not material for Pick n Pay, but it's material in the sense of it's a bloodied nose for them, and that's not good at a time when they really need to start getting things working in their favor.
Does ShopRite then sit back at this point and say, we're going to wait until there are other stores that are available? Because we've got our own footprint of stores in our own locations, and this basically allows them to acquire market share and encroach on territory without raising any red flags from a Competition Commission point of view. They're simply saying, well, there's an empty vacant site, we're able to afford it, and therefore we're going to go in.
Yeah, that's a great point, because of course I don't think the Competition Commission would let ShopRite buy Pick n Pay, but can ShopRite pick off the stores that they like? They absolutely can. Now, this was a slightly weird situation in that the franchisee owned the property, so he just went and signed leases with ShopRite after losing his court battles against Pick n Pay. But I imagine there's a bunch of those conversations happening. Now, in some malls, it's just not practical because there's already a Checkers or a ShopRite and then a Pick n Pay down the way. You don't want that one. But I can't help thinking that Peter Engelbrecht and his team are drawing up a list and probably having some conversations with some franchisees. Now, again, not all Pick n Pay stores are franchisees, but there's also the theory that Pick n Pay is going to be closing down some stores. And I've got no doubt that the landlords in those examples are very quickly going to be phoning up ShopRite and saying, hey, I've got a big space, because a space that's used for a large footprint like a Pick n Pay or a ShopRite is not easily converted. they're valuable spaces and that they bring foot traffic into the area. So I think they're probably getting a number of phone calls from landlords at the moment.
Obviously, these are what we know as sort of your anchor spaces in malls, in strip malls and the like. Simon, you raised a very, very interesting point around the fact that the franchisee actually owned the property and was the landlord of the property there, and therefore just simply said, well, I'm going to go and make a better commercial deal for myself going forward. Is there... Do you foresee something where, or a scenario where the Pick and Pay group can come back and say, hang on, you couldn't have, you weren't within your rights to do that because we had a lease agreement? Or is that then what it comes down to, is the terms of the lease agreement, the lease is up, I can put in a new tenant, I'm not obligated to offer the renewal to you?
I'm fairly sure. I would imagine that the lawyers have gone through this well in advance and made sure that everything was completely legit. I also am fairly sure that the Pick and Pay lawyers at this point in time are having a long, hard look to see if there is some sort of loophole in the space where they can sort of try and get those back. But at the end of the day, and I said a moment ago, it's that bloody nose for Pick and Pay. And this might be a more unique in that the franchisee owned the stores, and that probably isn't often the case. But I can't imagine they didn't really go and have a long, hard look at those leases. Certainly ShopRite doesn't want to get into litigation. They don't want to spend all of that cost on the store, then get into litigation and have a court say, nope, you couldn't have done that.
Well, Simon, while we're looking at retailers, might as well look at the other ones that are keeping quiet. I noticed that Woolworths is sitting very quietly in a corner. They haven't said anything. They haven't made any such moves. And that's very telling of the retail landscape at the moment. I mean, we've clearly got a front runner, someone who's sitting at the head of the table in terms of retail companies, or in terms of retail companies, and there are also other players that are quite comfortable to sit at the table and say, you know what, this is not my fight.
Absolutely. And Woolies, so there are a lot of Woolies food standalone, but there's still some of those combo stores where they've got the clothing and then the grocery within the clothing store. Obviously, those are not of interest. But Woolies has been, they are standing in the corner. Although they've done the acquisition of the Absolute Pets, they've announced a changes in senior leadership with the CEO of Woolies Food stepping down after I think almost 30 years at the group. And the key point, I mean, their food chugs along, they stand in the corner, they do their food, it does lacquer. Woolies' key thing is getting their fashion right. That's what they really need to get right. They've had a fair bit of horror there. So I think their focus at this point is, yeah, Absolute Pets, that's relatively small. It's their fashion that they really need to be working on at this point.
Mm. So, Simon, are we picking up retailers at the moment? Are we looking at attractive pricing? I know ShopRite's still around the 250 Rand a share there, not moving there. Pick and Pay seemingly holding its own, didn't go much lower than 17 Rand or 17.50 and thereabouts. And Woolworths, obviously, up to 80 Rand, back down to 60 Rand, kind of in the middle there. Are we looking at retailers now as attractive buyers?
So certainly, I mean, ShopRite, notwithstanding, it's not a dripping roast in a sense with its current, 249, I think was the close, but it's offering some value. It's not bad. I mean, a forward PE 18.5, standard deviation is 19, so it's not too bad there. So certainly for a stock of the caliber of ShopRite, I think 250 is a good price. Woolies has been interesting to me. I've been holding it for a while. I've been picking up a little bit at around about that 60 Rand level. I think I got some around 61.50. We had a nice bounce today, up 2.5%. Pick and Pay, I tried it, and then I was expecting a rights issue of at worst 4 billion. It turned out 4 billion rights issue, selling parts of Boxer. It was just an absolute horror update. I'm watching it, but I'm probably going to wait until post-rights issue. Let's see how that plays out. It's a long way back for Sean Summers, and it's not that necessarily he can't do it, but how long is it going to take, and what are we going to see from the share price? And then Spar, Spar has never particularly excited me. They've had their SAP issues. They've got problems in Europe. They've got to sell their Polish operation. And the chart just looks, frankly, deeply uninspiring.
Deeply uninspiring, but also there are those that still do look like really good value. We'll leave it at that, Simon. Thanks as always for the time and the insights. Simon Brown, founder at Just One Lap, joining me to reflect on some developments in the retail space through the likes of the ShopRite Group.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.